to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
All right. I need you to close your eyes. I need you to close your eyes. And I need everyone in the WWE... Hold this microphone up when I'm talking. Everybody in the WWE universe to close their eyes, breathe deep, and repeat after me. Get these hands. Get these hands. Get these hands.
This is Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Hey, you're listening to the Pain Clinic.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for July 28th. Now, holidays today, real quick. National Day of the Cowboy. I didn't bring my hat. National Chocolate Milk Day. Now, there's one of my favorites. I am the Cash Man. Thank you so much for listening. I am joined by Double B Brian Burke. Thank you, Double B.
Good morning. I'm my own B team.
You're your own B team with Peter there. And joining us all the way from Spencerport, New York, is Paulie Guglielmo from the Brother Weeze Show.
Yes,
he's going to be joining us this morning and hanging out and talking some pro wrestling while he's at Spencerport Canal Days.
What's up, fellas? Thanks for having me. Beautiful day, blue skies, forecasted cold for rain, but guess what? Not happening.
No,
I was looking at it for today.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We're going to be clear.
There's a little cloud out there, but beyond that, it looks beautiful, though.
Yeah,
nice and
bright. We're up in the clouds, so.
Spencerport Canal Days opened like 2 minutes ago and already getting a little crowd going here. So it's going to be a good time. Smells good. This is my favorite time of a festival. Like right at the beginning when you smell like the chicken barbecue and all the food trucks are firing up. It's a good time.
Oh, you know what? And because DC's not here with no donuts in the studio today.
I've eaten two donuts already today. Just wanted you guys to know that.
All right. Let me get my plugs out of the way real quick. I want to let you know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. We have a couple birthdays today. Happy 29th to Young Buck, Nick Jackson. And happy 28th to 205 Lives, Noam Dar. So we got two guys. I want to let you know that if you're interested in roller derby, you want to be a skater, officiate Rock City Roller Derby, need you, contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. But come on out August 4th to Salvatore's at the garage door for UFC 227 and Salvatore's Saloon. That's right, 10 p.m. start time. Get there. We'll be hosting it. There'll be prizes, drink specials all night long. That's August 4th. Salvatore's Saloon, Salvatore's at the garage door, UFC 227. Paulie, I want to introduce you as your real name. He's a tag team champion of IWF.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that. That is my title. I have my belt with me. It's in my vehicle right now. And damn it, I'm going to be defending it September 7th at the Elks Lodge in Brockport along with my tag team partner, Dewey.
That's so cool. Now, Paulie, let's talk a little bit about how you got that. Okay, you were brought in as the commissioner for the night, right?
That's right. What happened was at the IWF Summerfest about a month ago or so, Elks Lodge in Brockport, I'm the commissioner for the night, right? And one of the things that happened throughout the night when you're commissioner, if you don't know Cashman, basically you're in the back, you're kind of watching things, you got a couple of line items that you're responsible for, but then you also have the freedom to kind of look through the card and see what's going on in the ring and you know, make a couple changes, tweaks, respond to guys' challenges. A lot of guys have things that they want done, things that they want to see happen, and you can't make everything happen. But one of the things that I got to do was, at the end of the triple threat for the IWF Tag Team Championship, what had happened was the Buffalo Boys relinquished the titles. They had a triple threat. Dewey won the triple threat. So you're wondering, the crowd is wondering, who's his tag team partner going to be? And I took that moment upon myself to go out to the ring and literally just ask him. I put him on the spot. I figure if they're going to have a radio guy be the commissioner, then these guys are going to have to be put on the spots. I put a microphone in his face.
Well, you're not. You're not a know nothing commissioner. You're going to get to the brass tacks, right?
I'm going to get to the. I'm not going to let this guy. Here's what I'm thinking. You know, at the time, now Dewey's my boy. Now, obviously, we know the end of the story. But at the time, I'm thinking I'm not going to let this guy get away with having 2 months to figure out who his tag team partner is going to be, because the next show is until September 7th, right? So basically what happened was I put him on the spot, put a microphone in his face, said, who's it going to be? He went to the crowd and the crowd, you know, shouted several different ideas his way. I happened to be looking one direction. He was looking the other direction. Next thing I know, somebody grabs my hand, raises it. And I looked to my left. It's Dewey. He's grabbed my hand, raised it, and put one of the titles in my chest, you know, and basically said, here. And suddenly I was, you know, I was David Arquette'd. You know what I mean?
So now you're a tag team champs. You are in the books.
That's right.
You are in the books for it. You have to defend it now.
I'm a champion with a 0-0 record. That's right. But now listen, you know, that came with the responsibility, like you said, of I got to get in the ring now. This thing has to be defended. It's going to be defended September 7th in the Elks Lodge in Brockport that night. Dewey and I taking on, we don't actually know who our opponents are yet. But we'll be taking somebody on that night, and I'm not going to lie to you, I'm nervous. I've never wrestled a match in my life, never been in a ring, you know, in a physical way, never been in a ring in a competition way, and now all of a sudden, here I am defending a title. You know, I'm nervous about it, but Dewey says, listen, I'll carry the brunt of the work. If you can get in and do a little bit here and there, that'd be great. And so I don't want to give away much more than that, but that's pretty much the plan.
And you got to go with what the veteran says, because he's been on Monday Night Raw before a couple times.
Hey, Paulie.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Johnny Kayfabe's calling you out, Paulie. He said you got a cheap shot in and threw him at the ring post last time.
Well, listen, again, you know, I mean, if you want to go there, I'll go there. Kayfabe he's managing Frank the Tank. Frank the Tank is, for some reason, when I knew Frank the Tank a year and a half ago, when I first started attending shows as a fan, Frank the Tank he's a stand-up guy, he's in the ring, he's fighting, he's sort of doing the honorable thing, he's trying to win matches clean, and then all of a sudden he's in this match and he's not, he's cheating, he's got kayfabe on his side, kayfabe's doing these things where he's pulling off cheap shots, he's distracting referees, and I'm sitting in the back, this is like the second match of my commissionerism. Is that a word, Cashman?
I guess so, yeah.
It's like the second match of my...
How about commissionership?
Yeah, my commissioner, that's right. I think that's an actual word in the English language. It's like the second match, and all of a sudden, there's cheating going on. And I mean, look, I've been watching wrestling my whole life. I know cheating happens. This is my opportunity. This is my one chance to actually do something about it. So I went out there, kicked him out. He sneaks back out to ringside. I approach security to basically say, what can we do about getting this guy out of here? You know, he's been kicked out of ringside. Security says, look, man, that's not my gig. You're the commissioner. I'm in charge of making sure people pay to get in. I'm not in charge of the show.
You're the guy with the badge.
So, So I go, well, this is my call. Then what am I going to do? So I run to the back real quick. I check with Ron Falco. If you don't know, he's the owner and the guy that runs the IWF. I check with Ron Falco. I say to him, what can I do here? And he says, bro, you're the commissioner. That's my question for you. So I had to take it upon my own hands. So I made my way back out to the ring. Kayfabe at the time, right, it was perfect timing because he just happened to be backing out of the area. Like the ref had, by that time, the ref was hip to him, knew what he was up to. He's backing up the ramp. And I see this golden opportunity to let him just back up into me. So he backs up into me, turns around. I tower over him, by the way. I don't know if you know about kayfabe, but he's this puny little fella.
Yeah, now, Paulie, you're what, 6'5"?
I'm about 6'3", but I go about 300. So yeah, compared to a guy like kayfabe, you know, he's running into a brick wall here. He turns around. Now, all of a sudden, because he's got me face to face, what does he start doing? Oh, no, no, no. You don't understand. I'm just trying to do. You know, and I'm not hearing any of that. And then at this point, you know, as I told you, I had exhausted my options. I had gone to security. I had gone to the owner. And they all told me it was on me, so I put them into a poll. It's wrestling. What are you going to do?
Hey, you know what? If you're not following my rules, I guess that's how you dish out the punishment, right?
I guess so. I mean, it's the one place in the world where you can do that, so might as well. And or if you know, imagine me at the radio station, if I tell Weeze to go to commercial and he says no, and I just put Brother Weeze into the desk. You can't do that. Yeah. So I figure if I'm going to be here, I'm going to do that.
You start barricading the doors after doing that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, well, you know what? I mean, when they give you all power for one night, you know, sometimes power goes to people's heads. Maybe that's what Johnny Kayfabe is thinking. But you were just doing the right thing, you know? I mean, you were doing... You know.
I've known Kayfabe for years. He's seen me in the crowd. I think he was trying to take advantage. I think he knows that, you know, I was a fan of the IWF. I think he's thinking to himself, what an easy night we got here. We've got a fan as a commissioner. This is going to be an easy night. I'm going to be able to get away with murder here. And I just wasn't standing for that.
Well, and I will say you're taking over for Big Shoes because Big Cat Lemmer was the commissioner before you, and nobody looked at him cross-eyed at all. I mean, he pretty.
I'm glad you bring that up because when I kick Kayfabe out and then Kayfabe comes back out to the ring, I kicked him out, so he's back at the ring despite being kicked out. So the crowd starts chanting, "We want Big Cat." So again, I'm against the wall. My back's against the wall here. I'm in a position where I've got to do something. So. That's all.
Very good. Okay.
I don't know. What do you think? Did I do the right thing or what? I mean.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people would say because you're the commissioner and you're now also a tag champ that maybe you used your power incorrectly. But to me, it sounds like a very innocent story. So, I mean.
I feel like I checked all my boxes. I checked with security, checked with Ron, and that was the result. So, sorry, Kayfabe, but you do it to me again, bro. September 7th, I'm not the commissioner anymore. Now I'm just a guy.
Just remember,
a guy there to compete.
Paulie's got time to learn a few moves, too, so you better watch
That's
out,
right.
guys. 222-1280, star 1280 is the number. We've got Yosemite Sam on the line. Hello, buddy.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, what's Good happening? Morning.
Paulie, what's your ringside name?
Well, so far I was just Paulie Guglielmo, but I can tell you back in the Trampoline Wrestling Federation in Conneaut, Ohio, when I was 16 years old, I was the Casanova.
The Casanova? By the way, this is Viking fan. This is not Yosemite. We called him Yosemite Sam yesterday because we were giving everybody a name on the Carl Falk show yesterday because yesterday was the 87th birthday of Bugs Bunny, and so everybody got like a Looney Tunes name, and he was Yosemite Sam, which, of course, I'm scared of anybody who's got guns who like lets him fire when he's mad. He shoots him sideways, you know?
Paulie, I think you should be known as Paulie the Pounder.
I kind of like it. Yeah, we were talking about what my... Because I'm working... Right now, I've been working on actual moves since now I got to get into the ring. And I've been working on this thing called the Marinator. And I don't know if I'm going to actually get a chance to pull it off, but...
If you're Paulie the Pounder, it leads for three things. You could pound people in the ring, pound meat, mm-hmm. and pound women. So there you go, buddy. It covers all three bases.
You may fit all three of those right definitions there.
Yep.
Also, double quarter pounders. That's all.
There you go. Boom. See, Paulie the Pounder.
I like it. My finisher could be the quarter pounder, but then when someone kicks out of my finisher, it could be the double quarter pounder.
Or you could do like your finisher could be the special sauce.
You know, I used to watch wrestling when I was younger, and my favorite wrestler was Ivan Putski.
Ivan, the Polish power, he would do the Polish hammer, put his hands together,
yeah,
and hit,
right.
you, hit you right in the chest. We had him on about a year ago. He came to do the Red Wings game.
Really? I met him at the when I was a kid. I got his autograph at the Glens Falls Civic Center. Him, Andre the Giant, Bobby Backlund. Andre was wrestling a bunch of midgets that day, even though that's PC wrong. But
well, that's what they called them back then. So it'd probably take
exactly.
about 10 of, probably take about 10 of them to equal Andre, I'm sure.
I forgot how many he wrestled. I think there was at least five.
Right, so he almost could go bowling
and
with them.
And he stacked them all up at the end, and he sat on them. So. It was classic.
Cool, man. Hey,
all right, fellas.
Thanks for calling, Vikes, man. This is a first-timer.
All right, you bet.
Thank
all right,
you so
we'll
much.
See you later, Paulie the Pounder.
See you,
all right. We called him Yosemite Sam yesterday on the Carl Falk show because he was, of course, we were giving everybody a Looney Tunes name. And it was kind of fun because we were, you know, it's fun, interesting with the ones we gave to some of the regular callers. And, but we got to go to break on that, Paulie. Okay. We got to go to break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about WWE this past week because they made a huge announcement on Monday that I would like to discuss with the guys. So you're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this.
28th, over 50 women, then, now, and forever, will participate in an event called Evolution. And that event, I am privileged to announce, will be the first ever all-women's pay-per-view.
I have heard all your theories as to why I did what I did. I've heard that Jeff Hardy and I maybe had unfinished business from a decade ago, but that's not it. I've heard that you people think I'm bitter about the SmackDown top 10 list and being ninth, but that's not it either, and frankly, that never bothered me in the least. You people want to know why I did what I did? Look in the mirror. I did it because of you. The way I see it, it doesn't matter if it's Roman Reigns or Bobby Lashley or Brock Lesnar, because sooner or later, a monster is gonna come calling, because I have this. And what do you think, WWE Universe? How would I look as the new Universal Champion?
This is the Innovator of Balance, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to 1280 WHTK, the Pain Clinic.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Double B, Brian Burke, Paulie Guglielmo, live from Spencerport, and a little bludgeoning music here. Our friend Luke Harper. I shouldn't say our friend. A guy we know named Luke Harper is part of the Bludgeon Brothers. He's a tag champ right now. He happens to live in our town. You may see him around once in a while. Goes by many names, but Luke Harper is the newest one and the most successful so far, I would say. Maybe? Am I wrong?
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. He was as
Intercontinental Luke champion, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was Intercontinental champion.
As well as tag team champ.
So, yes, definitely. So, thank you for listening, and thank you for Paulie for joining us. We appreciate it all the way out there in Spencerport, which you sound like you're in the studio here.
Hey, modern technology, man, 2018. No, I'm sitting right here near the entrance to the Fireman's Field at Spencerport Canal Days. Beautiful day, blue skies above. All the vendors are open. The gates are officially open. Place is starting to get packed. It's a great day to come out to Spencerport Canal Days. And I'll be on the air live again at noon on our sister station, WHAM 1180, for the food show.
That's what I was going to say, too. I kind of took advantage. I know Paulie was going to be out there, and I asked him if he would come hang out with us, because he's going to be out there anyways at noon today, right?
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much. Right. So I kind of teased going into the break, and then I realized that my soundbite was completely what I was going to tease, the Stephanie McMahon announcement of the Evolution Women's Pay-Per-View. Now,
I thought you were talking about Roman Reigns taking on Brock Lesnar again.
Yeah, I know. We got that, too, on Monday night, too. But we did get to – but they made a big announcement, and they're going to have an all-women's pay-per-view in October. Thoughts on it? I mean, okay, Paulie and I had a brief discussion yesterday because I told him how I felt, and I'm going to express it again. What I feel is if WWE depended on buy rates like they used to, this would never happen. This would be the lowest buying pay-per-view in the history of the company. Now, listen, I'm not disrespecting the women in any way. It's just the mentality of everybody. I mean, you go out to these, we go out and host these pay-per-views, and you know what happens when the women matches are on? People go out and smoke cigarettes, and people go use the bathroom. And it's not, I mean, it's a common thing I see during it. So I'm not saying it's, you know, just my biased opinion, but, you know, about women's wrestling. But I just, since they don't count on that anymore, they don't need buy rates and they don't need stuff. But I think it's great for the women. I love the women. I think they're all fantastic. But I don't think, it's like probably going to be one of the lowest watched ones on the network. And that's how I feel, basically.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Just like any sport, unfortunately, you see a drop off when you're talking men's to women's in almost any sport.
Maybe except for women's world soccer, you know? I mean, because they're much better than our men, but.
But, I mean, even when it comes to, if you watch the matches and you stay and you watch the women's match, just everything is so much slower and takes more time to develop, and that can affect. I mean, you're watching these guys move around the ring so fast and pull off these moves, and I'll take the, Becky Lynch. I love Becky Lynch to death. I love watching her, but I call her Botchy Lynch a lot because it's not the same level. They're just not at the level that these guys who've been doing it forever are, and just the level of athleticism that's going into it. If you don't have a Charlotte Flair in the match, you're just not seeing that type of athleticism that you're used to seeing when you watch the guys. And I think it's a great opportunity for them to showcase their talents, and I'd love for it to prove me wrong, but I'm certainly not as interested in that as I am in some of the other pay-per-views.
Now, I think you both make strong points, Cash. You know, you're making the business point of, look, if this was a pay-per-view world we're living in, this wouldn't happen. It couldn't happen. You're probably right, statistically probably right, that the pay-per-view wouldn't sell quite as well. And, Brian, same deal with you. You're right. You're technically right. The athleticism isn't quite there. They're not. You know, men are bigger, faster, stronger, and it's unfortunately just a fact when you're talking about, you know, professional athletes in this manner. But I'm going to disagree because I think I am so excited about this pay-per-view. I am one of those guys who loved wrestling as a child, all the way through my teens, took a decade or so hiatus from wrestling, where I didn't watch anything at all, and have been back in for a few years. And one of the things that I was so interested in was that, it was when I got back in, it was right at that Four Horsewomen time in NXT, the Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, Bailey. That was one of my favorite things going in all of WWE, because back to you, Brian, with the athleticism, while that may not be up to par, these women can tell stories. And we all know at least half the biz is the storytelling. These women can tell stories on the same level as the men, and sometimes even better. One of the best stories I've ever seen was the rise of Bayley through NXT and through the horsewomen, and finally, you know, culminating in match of the decade with Sasha at TakeOver Brooklyn, the first year they did it in Brooklyn. And gosh, if they can just capture that again, if they can just capture that magic in a bottle again, oh God, I really think that they can. I think that they can headline a pay-per-view, and in this case, carry the entire pay-per-view. I'm very excited for this. I think they'll put together some great storylines and some great matches for that night.
You know, what's interesting is, I'm thinking of, there's been some really good women's matches on pay-per-views in the last year, and I think maybe Sasha and Charlotte Flair probably headlined most of those good ones that they had. They allowed them to do a Hell in the Cell. They allowed them to do some of the matches that were never done before women. But the thing about it is, I think almost the WWE, not only should I say that maybe they're forcing this down our throat a little bit, but they have been, and the women's revolution, which started a year and a half ago, or I think maybe, yeah, probably a little bit longer than that. I think that they're making good with, not focusing on women during the Attitude Era, except for as sexual objects, or, you know, I think they're trying to make good on, you know, really, you know, these women are athletes, and yes, they're incredible athletes. And listen, not all of them start off as athletes. I think a lot of them also, start off as like swimsuit models who learn how to wrestle. And for years, we've got really below average wrestling women as champions in WWE. But I think that they're really going out of their way to make up for some bad time when they really weren't focusing on women at all, except for as objects. So I think it has a lot to do with it.
It was bad. It was real bad for a while. You know, look, late 90s, of course, the world wasn't what it was today. And quite frankly, some of the stuff regarding the women that the WWE was putting on television to a 17-year-old man, me at the time, boy, teen, let's be honest with you, Cash, man, that stuff was pretty exciting for a little while there. But now it's, you know, in 2018, they can't go in direction anymore. One of the things I really dislike about the WWE's decision to do this has nothing to do with the women. It's that it feels as though the WWE is doing this because now they feel that it could be something they could make money with. They're seeing it happen in the rest of the world, or the country, I should say. They're seeing it happen in the rest of the country, and they're saying, hey, we should hop on this. They weren't trendsetters regarding this. If anything, they are so far behind, and they're embracing it because they feel it's safe to embrace now. That's something I really don't like about this. I don't like Stephanie McMahon going on Raw and saying, give Divas a Chance was something that caught her attention. Give Divas a Chance was a movement against Stephanie McMahon. She was the one they were targeting with that. Now she's trying to say, I don't remember exactly how she worded it on Raw. You guys can tell me, but I think it was, she almost tried to take credit for it, it felt like. I didn't like that.
It felt like it. And what I found interesting is, we'll have to see how it actually gets pushed and how it goes, because while Stephanie and Triple H were talking, and it's great that this is happening, it's great, and I got no problem with that. But if you looked at Vince's face and his lack of enthusiasm as he's clapping about it, I don't know. how much he's behind this actually happening and what sort of push they're actually going to give it. So part of my hesitation when it comes to the pay-per-view, it comes from the history of the lack of good storytelling, the lack of Vince's really getting behind certain superstars, and I don't know that he's fully behind the women's movement at this point either.
You can tell who he's behind because you can tell who he's. You can tell Vince's fingerprint. I mean, for years we've been able to tell. It's all over Raw, but it's all over with the women. You can tell because who ends up getting pushed when they get to the main roster, right? Nia Jax, because she's a monster, and the hot ones. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying I think that's what he thinks. I think Vince is in the back going, damn it, she's hot. She gets on television. Give her the title.
Well, Carmella's a perfect example.
Give the little blonde one the title.
Carmella's a perfect example. I don't think she can wrestle to save her life, but she's holding that title, beating someone who's an incredible wrestler, Asuka.
That was a terrible match, and it had Asuka in it.
Yeah.
Come on.
222-1280, star 1280. We got Reno on the line with us. What's up, buddy?
Hey guys, thanks. Thanks for doing my call. Great show as always. I don't know if you guys had mentioned this earlier, so I apologize if you did. But it's ironic that they're putting the pay per view on in the last Sunday in October because they have a tour of Saudi Arabia in November, and we all know what happened in April where no women were on the card in April. I just wanted to throw that out there as kind of food for thought.
Thank you. Thank you, Reno. That's one of the things I thought, too, is they were kind of apologizing for that, too, when it came to this announcement a little bit. You know, think about it, you know? I mean, they felt terrible that they couldn't use any of the women, and they let them all have the weekend off when they did the greatest Royal Rumble in the history of WWE, you know? So what do you think about that, Paulie?
Bro, I read in your notes, they made somewhere between $40 and $50 million on that. I mean, money still talks. They had to PR the hell out of that. I mean, you know, the PR department in WWE had to figure out how are we going to present this publicly. But we know what the decision there was. Saudi Arabia comes out with $40 or $50 million and says, "Come do an event." Then they ask for Yokozuna to be part of it.
Yeah,
Hulk Hogan. Did you hear?
Well,
you know, they just wanted to be entertained. That was one of my favorite pay per views ever. I just loved seeing the Saudi the royalty in recliners at ringside,
and then with their back to the ring too. Half the guys are drinking drinks, and with their back to the ring the whole time. That right. I mean, that was Titus going underneath it was probably the highlight of it.
There's no doubt that was just a huge. It was a huge money. They were offered all sorts of money, and that's why they did it. There's no doubt about it.
And they felt
bad
about it. I mean, Triple H legitimately felt bad that they couldn't use, and they got in trouble because some of their promo videos had women
in them.
Had women in them, and I mean, that was when they started the new Nakamura video with a woman singing his song, and it's like, and the first thing I saw was like, oh, there's a giant woman on the screen there. People are going to have a problem with that. And they did.
Yeah, I was picturing that. I was picturing the behind the scenes too of them going through with their production team and saying, "We need to scrub anything that we're going to show here of anything that could be offensive to these people." You know, and they sold out. I mean, at the end they just sold out is all they did. But for $40 or $50 million,
yeah,
it's hard to say you wouldn't sell out.
It's a one day event. Yeah, you know. I mean, without social media, that would have gone by with nobody knowing about it. They could have done that because they do a lot of trips across the ocean. They do a lot of PR stuff in India and stuff we never hear about. But because of the circumstances surrounding this event, that it became a huge sore thumb for them that whole weekend, you know?
I think women's wrestling will get a lot better one day when Vince McMahon is no longer in charge.
Yeah,
Triple H and Stephanie are the final says.
That's my hope for the pay-per-view. Let Triple H and Stephanie be behind that all-women's pay-per-view, and it'll be a lot better than if it has.
And there's some guys who work in, like for instance, Goldust. He works as an agent for the women, I think, at times, and they go out and step out. He's one who does some of the innovative matches they have that we get to see on occasion. But the women still are only allocated to less than a segment on TV most of the time, you know, for at least their matches, match-wise. You know, you've got, you know, on a three-hour Raw, you get one women's match, and you get eight, you know, men's, you know. So
how are you going to build up storylines for this all-women's pay-per-view if you're only seeing
That's the big announcement. Was you get ready for it because you're going to have it shoved down your throat some more, you know, pretty much. And that's what I'm guessing. But when we go to break on that, we got so much more to talk about. Got a lot of news. There's a new NXT champion that we knew about last weekend. We just didn't want to spoil it for anybody. But we'll talk about that on the flip side. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after these messages.
tried to befriend you. That was out of the kindness of my heart. But you know why else I tried to befriend you? Because of my 10-year-old son. He thought it'd be a good idea. He thought maybe if his dad is friends with Braun Strowman, then maybe he can take that little kid Nicholas's place and he could become tag team champions with the Monster Among Men. See, that was real cute. But you destroyed that. You crushed his dream at the same time as you crushed my spine at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, okay, Samoa Joe's a bad man.
Right, he's a bad man.
Right, this is your first match back on SmackDown Live.
First one back.
Okay, are you tired?
No, I'm not tired.
Do you need a pillow?
What I want.
Because you're not going to sleep, man.
Look, you're the truth. The whole truth.
And nothing but
the truth.
So what you gonna do?
I'm about to show Samoa Joe what's up.
My man.
All right. You guys are awesome. Let me just say this for you, those of you who do not know, I am a husband, I am a father, and when I heard Stephanie McMahon announce the first ever all women's pay-per-view, the first person I thought of was my little girl.
I am the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. AJ Styles agreeing with Stephanie. I'm the Cashman. I'm joined by Double B Brian Burke.
Hey.
We're joined by Pauly Guglielmo from the Brother Weez Show, who's in Spencerport at Canal Days right now, and he'll be on at noon on WHIM with his food show.
Yes.
There, I got all the plugs in there very quickly. Thank you. And don't forget to check us out at Salvatore's. That's right, August 4th. We'll be there for UFC 227. Hang out at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door. Either place you can go. There's no cover charge for either. We'll be out at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, and we definitely come out and hang out with us, have a good time, watch some guys beat each other up, and maybe even some girls. And I think there are some girls on this show. So, hey, welcome back to the show. We're going to talk pro wrestling again. So I talked a little bit about, Brian, what's this Aleister Black lost to Tommaso Ciampa this past week. It was taped 2 weeks ago, so yep. We knew about it. But well, talk about the match a little bit.
Let me tell you, this is the best match I've seen in the last 3 or 4 weeks on WWE television at all. I don't know if you saw it, Pauly. If you didn't, take a chance and watch it. It's about a half an hour match at the end of the show. But that's the great thing about NXT is that they give these guys time to build up that story that you were talking about in last segment, Pauly. These guys went back and forth, old school mat wrestling to start for at least the first half of the match before they started getting up in the air. Pinfall, attempted pinfall after attempted pinfall, interference. Johnny Gargano came into the ring to try to interfere on Aleister's behalf at one point. They've set up some interesting potential feuds with the win by Ciampa, and Black's finally lost a match, so it brings that into
yeah, it's true. It's 109 days he was champ there in NXT, and of course they'll have the rematch at in Brooklyn for SummerSlam, which is coming up. But Paul, you get a chance to watch any of that?
I have to admit that I haven't. Unfortunately, don't get to watch NXT as much as I wish I did, but I know this guy, Tommaso Ciampa, to be exciting. I mean, the couple matches I have seen with Ciampa is fun.
He's a violent man, very violent man.
And an awesome
heel. Well, his style, along with the way he's booked in NXT, and as Brian just pointed out, where you see the mat sort of wrestling, sort of almost the nod to the old school, and then they get into the new school, and developing that over a 30-minute match, I mean, it definitely sounds to me like a must-watch, and something that, again, just excites me for a day when people like Triple H are in charge of the creative on WWE.
Definitely. And a lot of some people have a problem with Aleister Black because he the black arts, and he, that's kind of his character and everything, you know. But, I think, you know, he's one of the, probably the, but he should be called up very soon to the SmackDown or Raw, because I think he would be a great heel on either of those channels. They need really good solid heels.
But do we always want that though? There are times when guys get called up and then they get lost. And sometimes that sucks.
Oh, Sanity is a perfect example of that. Sanity got called up and then sat on the bench for 5 months.
Less is more. The NXT is a perfect example of that. You don't have a huge roster. These guys get to develop. You get to know who they are. They get to have great matches. They don't get lost in the background or in a dark match or not at all on the show for the week.
No, you're right. And usually it takes a major star to have an injury for someone to get called up and actually to make an impact. You know, like Samoa Joe was a perfect one. He got called up when Seth Rollins got hurt a while ago, last year. And, you're right. You're right. And maybe you're right, Paulie. I do. I enjoy that where he's down in the minors and he's like, perfecting what he does. But I mean, it seems like every time someone gets to the point, a certain point, they get called up. And right now, there's a few guys like CN there. He's not being used to his. We saw an incredible match when NXT was here in October between him and Drew McIntyre. Yep. Incredible match. Two giant guys out there beating each other senseless, and both guys are up now. And that's kind of where I was going to go here in just a second. But we're going to take a call real quick from Brian. He has a question about SmackDown this past week. What's up, Brian?
Hi guys. Okay, remember last week on SmackDown when Paige was about asked I was with the lead, and then Samoa Joe came in and attacked the champion.
Yeah, AJ Styles. He got him from behind.
And then he signed the contract. Did they ever say that that match was official?
Well, that kind of means it's official, I'm guessing, because he signed it.
Well, and then if you kept watching, she talks to Samoa Joe later on, Paige does, and says, that isn't how I wanted this to happen. So, I mean, he was the person that she was going to announce.
Yeah, I think she was going to announce him anyways. But, and so his name was already on the bottom line.
Now,
there.
That should be the final match of the night. It won't be, but that should be the final match of the night at SummerSlam.
In my opinion. Well, we'll see where it goes. I mean, we got the last pay-per-view. We got an Intercontinental title match as the main event, a 30-minute match, which was fantastic. But there's so many things I want to talk about, and there's so much news out there.
Can I just ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Can I ask you a quick question? Speaking of Paige, does anybody know where Paige was last night? Or maybe this was 2 nights ago, actually.
She follows a band. Her boyfriend's in a band. I know that. Tell me she was in town here.
20 hours ago, so this would have been
Friday?
Yesterday, so Friday.
Oh, don't tell me they were playing down in Midtown, were they? No.
At Real Page WWE, 20 hours ago, tweets, here in Rochester, New York, Anthology, swing by tonight. So Paige was in Rochester yesterday.
Oh, I saw videos. She posted, if you follow her on Instagram, she's been posting videos. I didn't realize that was in town here.
That was a tweet she sent yesterday afternoon. So there you go.
Yeah, her boyfriend's
How about that? Breaking a little news to you on the Pain Clinic Cash, man.
You know, I probably should read her captions more. I just look at the pictures most of the time because I have a second grade education. Yes, I went there 4 times and I finally didn't make it out.
Look at the pictures. Don't watch the videos.
And I have to give somebody credit for hipping me to that, by the way. I don't want to, but Johnny freaking Kayfabe is the one who brought that to my
Well, Paige, give us a call. 222-1280, star 1280. I know she's friends with Luke Harper because I remember that one time they were in town and Luke's little boy was back there with her, and there's a ton of pictures with her and him. And so, and she apparently, Paige was Luke's little boy's girlfriend for a while. So they definitely are old friends. So, but wow, I did not know that. I was going to say, I was thinking about Paige recently because I know she's been all over the place. She has a kind of like the best of both worlds. She gets to go on tour with her boyfriend's band and she has a job every Tuesday night on nationwide TV. So that is not bad whatsoever. You know, I was going to mention, I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but you got to see that Ellsworth got fired last week. Did you guys see that?
Yep.
By Paige herself.
That was one of my favorite segments.
She fired Ellsworth and everything. And the whole thing about it is he came out with a message. Apparently he was never under contract with them for this return. And so he was just getting paid weekly for showing up, which I'm sure is pretty good for being on national TV. I'm guessing you might get your SAG card if you say a few lines when you're on live TV, maybe. I don't know.
You know what was great for Ellsworth was that he wasn't under contract, therefore he didn't have to give up doing his podcast. I don't know if you listen to his podcast. He did his podcast through this whole little mini run here.
Very cool. I didn't know that. I know that he was supposed to be in town here during that mini run. He was supposed to be at one of the shows here in Rochester. He probably will make good on it sometime in the future. But, I kind of liked it. I think, I look at Carmella by herself, and it's like, I miss the guy. I think he played an important part for her. It wasn't a bad thing, I don't think.
Yeah, the Carmella as champion thing is they're sort of limping it along, and they need, you know, they need it in Ellsworth to get another month out of it. You know, it's again, it's back to Vince. You know, yeah, give it to the hot blonde one. You know, it. Ugh, God, like Carmella, like the character, like where it could go. But man, she needed Ellsworth. So now I'm assuming she's dropping it at SummerSlam to Becky.
Yeah, she needs some work. I don't know if it she could use going back to NXT and working on her actual wrestling skills. In my opinion. But the character, like,
yeah,
you said,
I just
great.
Think, I think Vince hears, you know, what? Which one was the former Lakers cheerleader? That yeah. one? Yeah, give her the title.
Exactly.
And so, I think it's an easy storyline, and I'm sure that they'll swerve it somehow because it's almost too predictable, but you've got.
I thought they swerved
Becky
it already. I thought they swerved it because she beat someone who was unbeatable, which was Asuka, you know? So,
well, right. I'm saying, looking at the future, though, I think you've got Becky taking it from her at SummerSlam, and then by that time, Charlotte's back. You know, by late August, Charlotte's supposed to be back, and then you've got a Charlotte-Becky feud ready to go on SmackDown. I mean, it reads pretty simple. Maybe they'll swerve better than that, but they build that all the way to October 28th, and that's one of the great main events then for that pay-per-view for Evolution.
What do you do with Asuka, though?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's a good
another,
question.
Another call-up was kind of floundering.
Yeah, kind of dangling. 222-1280, star 1280's number. We've got Troy from Rochester on the line. What's up, Troy?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing good. How you doing, sir?
Good. You guys talking about my baby now, Carmella. Hey, let's give her some props now.
Oh, Mella. Huh?
That's my baby right there.
Mella is money.
Mella is money, apparently.
Yes, yeah, she is money, definitely. I liked her from the get-go. Her interest. I loved her interest. She comes out doing the moonwalk and all that, the dancing. But she has one of the best intros I did. I love the singing in her intro, too.
We're friends, not singers.
Yeah. I love her intros, man, the way and everything. And then, you know, she don't have to be a fancy wrestler, but she's doing good as a champion. I like her. They should let her hold on to it even after SummerSlam.
It'd be nice if she won where it looked like she actually could beat somebody, but every time she wins, it's kind of like that's the way a good heel works, is not, mm-hmm. not showing, you know, that they can actually be superior to somebody, but actually being the inferior one who can find a way to win. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. What else, Troy?
Yeah, because I love when those kind of heels, you know, you can find a way to win matches and stuff like that. You know, one thing I would wish the WWE brings it back. Now, they had it for the WWF, but they don't have it for the WWE, even though they have the title WWE Superstars of Wrestling. For once, I would love to see, like, say, Randy Orton fighting a jobber. Let's say some of the other characters fight jobbers, you know, like they had on WWF.
Yeah. Saturday morning. It used to be on Saturday morning at 11 a.m., and you could listen to this show and then go and flip it over to that. Yeah, they don't have those. The last thing I know, Superstars was on GN, and then once GN canceled the contract, they were still making it, but putting it up on, I guess in foreign markets, they still have the Superstars show, but they put it up on their website, and you can watch it on the network, I think, still. They do produce a show. That's how we all got hooked on it as kids. Is, you know, Saturday morning you would get the jobber, you know, you get three matches and they all be like, you know, someone getting, you know, then you'd have the famous jobbers come out of it, you know.
Yeah, SD Jones,
special delivery, man. He was one of my favorites. I agree, you know, and there's more room for content with the network, but then you have to subscribe to the network. If you don't subscribe, then where else can you find WWE stuff? You know,
I would subscribe if they bring back that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. Well, man, Troy, man, it's a good idea. Thanks for calling, buddy.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. 222-1280, star 1280. We've got one more break to get out of the way. And I'm going to go with my most favorite underused group, the Sanity's music. Eric Young, you know, listen, Eric Young's been on this show many, many, many times when he was with TNA. He'd come to town all the time. And now I love seeing a guy that I was a legit fan of because he knows how to work. He can go out and work a house show, a live show, an indie show, and get the crowd into it every time. And I love what he's doing with Sanity, and that's why we're bumping with their music. We'll be back on the flip side. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, it's JB, Jeremy Borash, and you are listening to my favorite radio show in the entire world, The Pain Clinic, on 1280 WHDK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man. I'm joined by Double B, Brian Burke, and Polly Guglielmo from Spencerport Canal Days, from the Brother Wee Show, as well as at noon today on WHAM, the food show. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. This morning, I mean, we're getting crazy. We got a rapid fire of stuff we got to go through that we haven't touched yet. First, Ms. and Mrs., what did you guys think?
Oh, I thought it was hilarious. Yes, it looks scripted. Maybe not completely scripted, but definitely looks scripted. But the talent difference between the way they're pulling it off versus some of the other reality shows WWE has out there, I think it's much better.
The Miz and Mrs. show is my new favorite. Oh, I've never been a big Total Divas guy. I've never been the Bellas guy. But this show was so good. You're right. I mean, it's scripted, but it's scripted in the way all reality TV is. They set up a scenario. Everybody kind of knows that the scenario is going to lead to something. And then they get the cameras ready. And then Miz and Maryse are, able to ad-lib through that. But Miz is so good.
He's
just so good.
Well, you probably heard.
I love this show.
You've heard our stories before. Last time Miz was here for a live house show or whatever, live event, Danger Boy and I met him outside, and we were talking with him about Cleveland. He's a Cleveland Browns fan. He's a Cleveland guy, so, Paul, you should love him.
He's my boy.
We were talking about the Cleveland Bills game that had been on Thursday night the night before, and it was like a snowball, and it had Tool was quarterbacking the Bills, and so I can't remember who was quarterbacking Cleveland for that game. But we're talking to him about that, and he goes, hey, good game, Cleveland. And he's like, oh, good game, Buffalo. Tool sucks. And we're talking, and then so we're in a front row, and Miz was in his match, and he got knocked down and beaten up, and he was laying in front of us on the ground, and he goes, Tool sucks, over and over, because he sees us in the front row there. So we've had the Miz on the show before, back when he was on The Real World. He came on because we talked to him. He was out when he was doing independent wrestling before he ever joined the WWE. He's always been a great interview, great guy, and I think he's very funny. And I love the heat that he gets with Daniel Bryan, and I can't wait to see how that match eventually comes out, because that kind of led from SmackDown into Miz and Mrs. as Daniel Bryan came out and attacked, or didn't attack him, but he had the baby thrown at him out of the Miz's carrier, which was pretty funny. But I enjoy the show. I'm definitely going to DVR it, if not watch it live every week, and I think that's pretty cool. So another real quick one. What do you guys think, Sasha and Bayley? I mean, is this setting up for a big split coming up?
Hopefully, finally. We've been waiting forever.
What do you think, Polly?
I don't know where they're going with this. They've teased it and just crap or get off the pot with the Sasha Bailey feud. Please. I mean, the feud is happening, but they're not. But it's not happening.
Best friends. Stop. Again. They're after last past Monday. Yeah. They're best friends again. They're hugging each other in the ring. It's going to fall apart viciously, and it'll be the main event of probably this women's pay-per-view.
I hope so. I mean, they've shown that they can main event Brooklyn and tear the house down, right? So give it to them. Give them the opportunity to do that. The long, slow build might pay off, and I hope it does, but right now it just feels a little frustrating.
It is. It does, because it's like we're back to where we started, and now it's, but I think it'll, yeah. I think it'll fall apart very quickly, and I think Bayley will come out being the heel of the two. For some reason, I just have this feeling that she's got it in her to do it. Okay, another quick one. McIntyre and Ziggler. We hope they split soon. Is McIntyre big? Is he big enough a deal that he should be in the main event or moving his way up? That's a tough one.
He's showing good promise in the ring, and he's big, so he's going to have Vince's backing.
Yeah,
but he's got a lot of people ahead of him. When you got Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman ahead of you on that brand.
It's a crowded roster, and Brian, you took the words out of my mouth. I mean, the top of that roster, especially with the big guys, is so crowded right now. But he's big enough that Vince is gonna protect him a little and gonna give him a shot. I think if he can, he will, but it's not a sure shot with him whatsoever. He's gotta do it. I think Vince is gonna put him in front of a camera and give him the opportunity. And this is one of those situations, they say grab the brass ring. I think Drew's one of those guys who's gonna have to kinda get himself to that with the crowd in order to be propelled one step further.
He's working with the right guy right now to learn how to do that.
Yeah, he is. And I think he's a much buffer guy than he was when he left. years ago. He is a much better wrestler, and I think he's the next guy to actually get elevated up, I think, because he's been pretty good. Okay, one last thing before we finish the day, and I want to thank you, Mr. Pauly Guglielmo, so much for joining us. It is a true honor because we work together sometimes with Wheeze, and it's like we talk wrestling, and it's so much stuff we talk about.
And it's not often we get a tag team champion on the line either.
That's right. Yeah, the whole show. But right. What do you guys, any of you guys hear any of Elias's music?
I have not, but what he sang on the air was terrible.
Listen, I haven't heard it either, but I've actually heard that it's good, but I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to pull it up in my car on the way home and finally give it a listen.
I know. It's out there. It's legitimate. There is an album out there. It actually, and as Michael Cole was saying, it broke the top 30 iTunes downloads when they debuted it this past Monday.
I just wish on Monday night they'd had him break the dang guitar over someone's back after getting interrupted so many times.
But, you know, he played so many different pieces of his music, too, so he really got a good idea of what people might be getting on the CD when they buy it or download the music.
I love Elias, and maybe this was so obvious, and you guys are going to be like, yeah, dude, we've been saying that for months. But I showed my brother Elias, and I just said, this is one of my favorite. And my brother said, oh, it's Honky Tonk Man. And I went, oh, my God, it is. It just is. Like, it's 100%.
He reminds me of a lot of different guys. A lot of the bigger, muscular guys from the 80s that used to wrestle. Yeah. He's
Johnny Cash. The way Honky Tonk Man was Elvis, he's Johnny Cash, you know, and he's got the guitar, and he's breaking it over. It's great. It's great. Can I talk about Spencer Port Canal Days for 30 seconds?
You've got it right now because we got about a minute.
Okay, real quick. Spencer Port Canal Days, beautiful day. Come on out. Lots of vendors out here. It's open until 5 o'clock today and tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Crowd's starting to build up. A lot of great artisans. It's a really, really good time, and I hope you'll get a chance to come out and say hi.
Yeah, come up and say hi to a tag champion running his own booth there right now.
That's right. Guglielmo sauce,
which is the best sauce in Rochester. If you've never had it, try it. It's fantastic. It's my favorite.
Thank you.
And
I'll be live again at noon on Wham 1180. Live again at noon.
Pauly, I can't thank you enough for coming on. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brian, for being here. Thank you.
No
Brian's
problem.
Sons, Peter's been in the background playing solitaire the whole day. But thank you so much for listening. We'll be back to the regular thing next week. But thank you, Pauly. Thank you, Brian. And we will see you folks next week here. Same bat time, same bat channel. Body slam somebody you love on the Pain Clinic.